Today, scripture lesson comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. A familiar story. It's found on page 108 of your pew Bible. So hear this word of God. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, we said it as we began our worship service, and I say it again, we are people of the resurrection. That's an easy thing to say, but an amazingly difficult thing to live out. Frankly, I think Thomas had it easy. The story of Easter Sunday and the resurrection is simple, but I think we need to guard against making it simplistic. There is mystery in our faith, more mystery than certainty. And as much as we'd like to be sure, we must settle for peace rather than hope for proof. This lesson from John is charged with meaning and consequence for modern people. Last Sunday on Easter, in hopes of reaching out to people who may have been visitors, people who may be unsure about how they stand with God, I spoke about the certainty and absolute clarity of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But today, we are reminded of the mystery of this event. Jesus came back to life. Of that we can be absolutely sure. But it was not in the same way that we are accustomed to thinking about human life. It's ironic that Thomas asked for the tactile proof of touching the horrific holes in Jesus' hands and placing his hand in the spear hole in Jesus' side. It's ironic because in both instances of Jesus' appearance to the apostles, Jesus somehow comes through a locked door to be in their presence. Jesus came back from the dead, but it wasn't with the same physical body that hung on the cross at Golgotha. And I think that Thomas understood this, because even though he initially asked for physical proof of Jesus' return, Thomas did not then follow through to touch Jesus' body. Thomas and the other apostles knew it. Mary Magdalene had likewise known it as she stood outside the empty tomb. Jesus was Jesus, and yet Jesus was somehow different. Jesus was different. And the fact of the matter was that Mary and Thomas and the other apostles were different too. The resurrection had changed everything for them. And the resurrection has changed everything for us as well. For the apostles, the world had not radically changed, but now they saw it through new eyes. Yes, the Roman Empire was still in control. Caesar was still on the throne, and the religious authorities still saw this band of Jesus' followers as revolutionaries who must be stopped. That's clearly why the apostles were behind locked doors as they met to talk about all they had gone through those past several weeks. The apostles were surely in fear for their safety, as they would be for the rest of their short lives. Persecution and death lay just outside that locked door. And Jesus understood this. That's why, as soon as he appeared to them in the inside of those locked doors, Jesus said in a calm and reassuring voice, "Peace be with you." Jesus offered them the peace of the kingdom of God, that new covenant that had been initiated by God when Christ died on the cross. Danger and hunger and poverty and disease and war and rebellion still lay just outside that locked door. But Jesus was offering to his followers the peace of God's kingdom. And not only peace, but Jesus was also providing to them the Holy Spirit and the missionary call to share the good news with everyone they would then encounter. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Well, this scripture lesson from John is not only a good story of how the apostles dealt with the aftermath of the resurrection. No, it is not only that. It is also a lesson that God has laid upon our hearts as well. As much as we'd like to be stronger and more sure than Thomas, I believe that there is a lot of the doubting Thomas in each one of us. There seems to be a human need for physical proof, for scientific certainty that flies directly in the face of the spiritual necessity of faith. Thomas represents all of us who try to make sense of the death and resurrection of Christ. The Thomas in me makes me question my belief in God. It makes me question my faith. But at the same time, I see that doubt of Thomas, as well as my own doubt, as a positive sign. You see, I believe it's impossible to doubt without belief as a foundation. If you didn't already believe in Jesus Christ, you would have no basis for doubt. Faith is not at all about what we do, but rather faith is a gift from God that comes to us by the Holy Spirit. By the standards of the world, faith is an irrational belief in that which cannot be proven. I can't stand up here this morning and somehow prove to you that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. No one can. But that doesn't change the fact that it happened. And it certainly doesn't change the fact that God has confirmed in my heart the truth of the resurrection and my absolute faith in Jesus Christ. No matter how hard we try, we will likely never move beyond the unfathomable mystery of the resurrection. I believe that the more we study the Bible, the more we understand the good news of Jesus Christ, the more focused our questions will become, and the more grand and deep the mystery will become. God doesn't want us to figure it out. God wants us to trust in Jesus Christ, to have faith through the Holy Spirit. Nothing about last Sunday changes what is outside our church. Despite Easter Sunday, danger and hunger and poverty and disease and war and rebellion still wait just outside these walls. The world is the same this morning, but in light of the resurrection, we see it through new eyes. Regardless of the world's reality, just as for Thomas and the apostles, Jesus still comes into our presence here, and Jesus still offers us the peace of the kingdom of God. Peace be with you. And in the same way, just as for Thomas and the apostles, Jesus is calling each one of us into a life of witness and mission. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. As John said in his gospel, I say to each one of us here this morning, I pray that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Christ is risen, and because of that fact, your life will never be the same again. Alleluia. Amen.